Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Phil, your flies are definitely done up.
This time, I can confirm they are securely done up, Tim.
Just before JB hit record, in the rugby dungeon, Phil had to rearrange himself. But that's what goes on in the rugby dungeon, but we won't speak of that anymore.
Yeah, it's the only podcast that you can download where this might be a problem. The only one, Phil. Thanks, mate.
Well, listen, boys, before we crack on with this week's Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, can I just say we need to bring our A game because we need to reflect the rugby that's been on show, which has been outstanding, out of this world good. So let's bring our A game, boys.
Definitely. Definitely.
And hands
we'll
in. We'll try our best anyway. Hands in. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
Welcome to the Rugby Dungeon, where we are here for the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, off the back of an amazing weekend of European rugby, of Hong Kong Sevens, of, well, all sorts of other goings-on in the world of rugby. We love the game of rugby, but we don't take it or ourselves too seriously. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Philip over there.
Hi, Tim.
Let me get all this out of the way as per usual. You're probably already listening on iTunes or Acast, but that's where you can find us. Subscribe there. And if you enjoy the podcast at all, will you just take one moment out of your day to leave a review? And thank you very much for all the people who have done so on iTunes. And I have some great reviews to share right here. You can also find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. I was a bit concerned when I saw this one. It said the Quade Cooper of podcasts.
That is concerning.
That was concerning, but actually they meant it in a good way.
Go on. That's like saying the polio of podcasts. It's not a positive way.
No, it's not that bad, is it?
I don't know.
What can be extremely also, positive or extremely negative?
Oh, hold on.
Mitch Aman also said, more engaging than a Brian Moore talk on scrummaging. But that's like saying, that's not a compliment either.
It certainly isn't.
Everything is more engaging than that.
He also put 5 stars. And
although,
then,
does he mean engaging in the literal sense?
I know what's either extremely positive or extremely negative.
Yeah.
Being groomed.
Yeah. Yes, we had this conversation. I couldn't remember what it was.
Oh, wow.
Because you're either groomed for a high-ranking position in your in your company, or you're an orphan girl from Rochdale. It doesn't really matter.
BongoBird05 on iTunes left a 5-star review saying, mandatory listening for anyone who loves their rugby, enjoys mumble, and demands opinion.
You certainly get some opinion.
Lots of mumbling.
Yes, indeed. Where do you want to start with this weekend's rugby?
Shall we start on what was, in my opinion, the best game? The one that you were at, Tim, you were working at.
Yeah, there was quite a few people that got in touch on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, and went, oh, you're actually that Tim that's on BT Sport. There was a lot of people that hear me go, I'm working at the rugby this weekend, and just think I'll just go along and watch it. And then they also see some guy on BT Sport interviewing directors of rugby.
You have done remarkably well, because, to be fair, you would never know, because it's gone from, like, a little bit of hand.
You see, a bit of my hand.
Like full body shots.
Oh, I know. No, it was incredible, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable. Brilliant game. Like
the only game I didn't watch, by the way.
Was it?
What? Yes. The only game you should have watched.
Because you were playing.
I was playing, yeah.
Yeah. So right from the start, it was brilliant. It was high tempo. And it started off a little bit cagey. And then Exeter went ahead with the two Thomas Waldrum tries. The pushover try, and then the interception from 40 yards out.
Where he nearly got caught by Matt Mullen.
Matt Mullen,
yeah,
yes.
Like Thomas Waldrum compared to Matt Mullen looked like he was running in treacle. Matt Mullen almost caught him, and then Thomas Waldrum slid in, and there was a brilliant Nick Mullinsism where he said, you know, he's Thomas the Tank, the train reference, and he went, Thomas Waldrum slides into the sidings.
Wow. Well, as Alex Corbett-Zero says, or said to me, he has legs for days, referring to Matt Mullen, which means he's got great fitness.
He did.
The World Cup thing.
In the USA Colorado training camp.
Yes.
He said Matt Mullen showed up really well. You're right.
I think he was the best performing either front rower or tight five.
Yeah, he's got an incredible engine and he never gets injured. That's the other thing. I mean, we've got a lad from Broughton Park, Sam McIntyre, who now plays at Wasps.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying he wants anyone to get injured, but of course, because Mullen is so consistent, he never gets
a chance. Yeah. And also, Mullen is third choice for England, so he's always in the England kind of wider squad, but never gets called up, so he never misses the game for that.
But this is one of those days where that's probably it as far as talking about front rows is concerned, because all the stuff you want to talk about was back row and backs, really.
I don't know. The Stad front row looked pretty handy.
I'm talking about X to Wasp.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah.
X to Wasp, yeah.
I mean, what was really interesting is Dai Young said before the game, oh yeah, we know what they're going to do. We've watched and we are ready. We've been working on defending the driving maul and defending the pick and go. And even though they knew this is exactly what X2 were going to do, it still couldn't stop it.
Yeah. Well, that's why people do driving mauls and spend so much time with driving mauls, because even though you know it's coming, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know it's coming as soon as they blow up for a penalty and they kick towards the corner. You know it's coming. It's hardly a surprise.
But they're so well organised, that Exeter pack.
But can we talk about, I didn't think the forward pass disallowed try was a forward pass.
Yeah, it looked worse than it was because
Ollie Woodburn got stopped dead.
His
hands went backwards and the pass was backwards in inverted commas. But again, it's that whole thing about you can be, if you're running forward but you pass backwards, the ball still travels forward.
Yes.
That's right.
So if Woodburn hadn't been tackled by Wade and he kept on running, I think that would have been a try.
I think so as well. So on that point of view, I think Exeter were hard done by. It was marginal at best. That would have put them out of sight. But that said, what more do you want than being 20 minutes to go, 13 points up away at Wasps?
Yes. Yeah. And Wasps, those last two tries, the Halai try and then Piatau with a minute left on the clock.
Well, before that, because go back a couple of minutes, there was 77 minutes on the clock, I think, and Elliot Daly could have got caught behind his own try line, managed to evade two extra players behind his own line and then make 50 yards. That was the stardust that Elliot Daly brings. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah, it really was. Now, I have only watched the highlights of this because I was in a pub in central London, Covent Garden, watching the game, and with 9 minutes to go, they turned off the Cup quarter-final to put on the build-up for the Grand National.
What was the reaction in the pub?
No one cared.
Oh.
So at the start of the game, it was kind of half empty, 3 o'clock, quarter past three, and then just before the Grand National, it was heaving. It's absolutely heaving. So there's a lot of people who'd obviously arrived specifically to watch the Grand National, which is
such a weird thing, the Grand National. I mean, you know, it's kind of akin to like if we had an annual dog fight, which, you know.
Yeah, five horses died.
Only five this year.
Six.
Yeah, I think then, you know, next year I'm going to do a sweepstake, not for who wins it, but for how many horses die. All one, two, five.
So I missed that. I was kind of getting the updates on my phone, but didn't actually watch the final throwings of it.
Bearing in mind that Exeter Chiefs try celebration is a cock tap, Steve Parrott said, and he tweeted this at Rugby Podcast, Jimmy Gopeth should join Exeter Chiefs. He clearly has balls of steel and would cope with the Exeter cock tap.
Hell of a kick, wasn't it?
I love that kick. I love the way
he walloped it. Celebrated straight away.
He kicks it as hard as he possibly can, which he always does, no matter whether he's 5 yards out from the post or on the touchline.
He's a kicking
And then
version.
As soon as he hits it, though, it was the double hands in the air, he jumping knew. Up and down celebration.
A gust of wind would have been brilliant, though, wouldn't it?
Woo!
He is the kicking equivalent of Ian Madigan. Doesn't matter the situation, either in a kick or pass, as hard as he physically
hard
can.
As possible.
Yeah. but it was an amazing occasion, but I think it was... Let me go back to last week's podcast and the last couple of podcasts, and I've been talking about this whole, you know, where will rugby be in 10 years if we carry on the slide we're going down. And what I saw in that game, being there at the ground, in the supporters, in the players on the field, in the directors of rugby and all the coaching staff and everything, was everything that was what I'm talking about. So when, okay. So I don't want you to confuse when I talk about, oh, Anthony Watson, I don't like that it was a red card. I'm not arguing that under the laws it wasn't a red card, etc. All I'm saying is there is a consequence to looking at rugby in those kind of terms and taking away the, you know, building in consistency and laws and taking out empathy and the essence of what is rugby. But the supporters were incredible on both sides, and they're a credit to both clubs.
Sorry, what might I be confusing here? I'm confused. I'm confused in what I'm not supposed to be confusing, if that makes sense.
Well, so, as in what I'm talking about is
you like supporters, but you don't like Anthony Watson.
No. Yeah. Oh, you nailed it. Yeah. Oh, good. You're up to speed. So everything that I'm thinking about that might get eroded away slowly but surely if we continue down the way things have been going was on show in so much abundance at the Ricoh Arena. The supporters on both sides were absolutely amazing. And the players, what was brilliant was Wasps all celebrated and hugged. But I don't think the TV cameras picked this up. But some of the Wasp players, the first thing they did was just go and talk to their opposite number at Exeter.
Yeah.
And they were stood and chatting.
I guess that's like a fighter's mentality, isn't it? You know, as soon as the bell goes, you've been in a grapple with someone for, you know, however long. And it's kind of almost like a kinship. No one else really knows what's been going on.
And I saw there was a couple of Exeter players coming out of the Wasp dressing room with a beer.
Yeah.
It was like... And did you see Rob Baxter's post-match interview?
No, I didn't.
I've not seen that.
I know that you have, though.
Yeah. Well, I was the one with the microphone. That was my hand. Just to behave in that manner and be that magnanimous in defeat and that classy... I think I used the phrase on Twitter, Rob Baxter is rugby.
Interesting.
But the way, like, Pietau, he kind of commended... Extra in that performance as well. You often get that with rugby. It's very, like you say, it's very like a fighter mentality. It's very rugby mentality, isn't it?
It's sort of linked. I'm going to change the tactic a little
bit. Yeah, go on.
Fighter mentality, all right? Is anyone familiar with the bans that have been meted out this week?
The bans in rugby?
In rugby, yeah.
Pocock, Marler.
Pocock.
And Watson.
And Watson. Right?
The most serious for me, and talk about fighter mentality, is Pocock. Have you seen what he did?
Yes.
The sleeper hold, basically.
I think that's disgusting. I think that's the worst thing that I've seen on a rugby field for God knows how long. And it's linked into exactly what you've said. And it links into diving and everything else. Pocock has got a man around the neck. Now, I don't really mind. He's got a man around the neck. Some refs would blow up immediately and say, round the neck, penalty immediately. You just don't touch the neck area.
Yeah.
But he did, and I, you know, that's not a problem for me. He then starts to choke out Michael Leach. And Michael Leach then is in a bad situation and he taps out. If a man taps out and says, look, I want no more, I've had enough, you let go. It doesn't even go on in an MMA cage. It doesn't go on in boxing. If you say you've had enough, you've had enough. I think what he did to actually carry on with that chokehold, despite being tapped and the other player in this player saying let go, it's absolutely atrocious.
Absolutely atrocious. I really do agree with you. Watching that video, so the initial headlock, it is, like you say, it's illegal, but I don't have it too much problem with the kind of intent. He's just trying to bind, or it looks like he's just trying to bind onto them all. But then it's the choke and then the tap. And he's tapping for 10, 15 seconds.
And you know what it is? If you've ever been in that situation, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And that's why if you tap, if you're training and grappling or something and you tap, you let go.
But that's only... He's only been given a 3-week ban, but there's a rest week in that period, so it's only a 2-game ban.
I would have him banned for the rest of the season. I kid you not.
Certainly until after the England tour to Australia.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh,
genuinely, I would have him. I think that's commensurate with like a 10-plus-week ban.
Yeah. Save as many trees as you want. David Pocock is an arsehole. I mean, I'm so angry about it, and it links into diving too in a weird way. Because diving's a similar sort of thing to me, which is, right, the whole point of rugby is it's, you know, you go on a pitch, I go on a pitch, and we know what we expect. If one guy says, right, I've had too much, he's had too much, at least be man enough and say, look, you know, you're getting better of me. don't throw yourself on the floor, because it's the same sort. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah. I was astonished that only got a 3 week, a two game ban. Absolutely astonished. Even taking into account David Pocock's exemplary character and his remorse for the activity, for the action, it's still horrendous. Like you say, one of the worst things I've seen in a long time on a rugby field.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in a fight and they're both swinging at each other, fine.
I think that, yeah, exactly. I think that there was a sort of, and again, going back to my essence, what is the essence of rugby? There was a lack of sort of nobility in what he did.
It was Callum Clark-esque. Yeah. You know when he
Armbarred Rob Hawkins.
Exactly.
Callum Clark got like a 20-week ban for that.
Shout Berger got a 2-week ban for deliberately eye gouging a player. So I don't know. Maybe they have different disciplinary assessments in the Southern Hemisphere.
Players.
If they do, then World Rugby should step in, like they did
with Joe Marler.
With Joe Marler.
It's really hard to talk about Joe Marler, this case, and be honest. I'm going to say it's really hard.
I'll happily be honest.
You be honest. I don't feel like I can say what I honestly think about it.
What do you think about it?
Go on, Jay. What do you think?
What do you think, Jay?
I think it's ludicrous. I think if two men are going to beat each other up, which basically they were doing, you know, name calling's nothing. It's just name calling. Oh. Now, the argument would be from those on Mount Pius would be, well, what if there was a young gypsy lad watching rugby and he decided he doesn't want to go and play rugby now?
Hold on, because the word was used in a way, but some people have gone, well, he is from a gypsy background, so that's factual. So hold
on, he tried to upset him,
and he used substitute that for
another racist term.
Look, I don't have a common view on this. My view is, if you're literally trying to offend and upset someone and get underneath their skin, it's absolutely fine.
Maybe World Rugby are right to step in if they think a real injustice has been done, but I don't like the way the process has all happened.
Yeah, the process has been farcical. I actually think the result in the end is the correct one. Because Joe Marler was trying, his intention was to offend and upset. But he wasn't intending to use a racist word, but he did.
Yeah.
And if it was a different racist word, I think some people's views would be different. But it's a racist word. They've all got to be classed the same. Therefore, World Rugby need to lay down the law, which they have done. However, the process of getting there was 6 weeks or so, to get from the incident.
And I think actually probably the RFU are to blame for that, because they could have just said, right, you've got a 1 week ban, that's unacceptable.
Here's a 2 week ban.
Done, but it's rumbled on for all this time as a result. What I will say, and this is in no way defending Joe Marler, but all I'm saying is...
Why not? Because I think he does need a bit of defending.
Here's what I will say is, the access that we get to rugby players, the chats with them before the games on the pitch and at half time as they're coming off and straight after a game, and the directors of rugby, and you know the characters of the game we have, and we'll come on to Corbs and his rap in a minute and stuff like that. All of that will stop.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Tim.
It will stop.
Well said. Yeah. I mean, and also I've got a point which I think we'll all agree on here. It's a very serious point. I mean, if you are going to use racist slurs on a rugby pitch, whisper them.
I don't think that's the takeaway.
Sure. No, is that not the
takeaway? Dear me.
Well, that's a naughty corner done, at least.
Right, okay, let's rattle through some more of the actual rugby stuff. So, by the way, can I just say on Rob Baxter, I was so impressed by him. He's just a classy man, and might be my favourite person in rugby. Person in rugby, because I wanted to, like, I felt a physical, emotional response when he was talking to me and he was doing his post-match interview, just thinking, this guy is incredible.
Did you want to give him a hug, Tim?
I just wanted to...
Do you know when you return to the top flight, are you going to return underneath him? Is that how you feel?
But, no, what I will say is, he has very, very long answers to questions, to the point where I think he'd be a brilliant person to do a filibuster. in a US court. Which, if you're not aware what it is, a filibuster is when you're trying to scupper the opposition getting a motion through in the House of Representatives, someone can just talk and talk and talk for hours, but they're not allowed to repeat. they have to be coherent, keep making points, and Rob Baxter would be incredible at that because he has some long answers.
What's he like in real life? Because he always strikes me as kind of a very dry, unexcitable kind of fella. Is that right?
Yeah, so we did the post-match chat, and then he went to do the press conference in the just near the Wasp media room, and he was stood outside the Wasp media room whilst James Haskell was having a chat, and he was just stood with his arm up on like a mini drinks fridge, just sipping a bottle of Heineken, and just looking really, really mellow.
Oh, cool.
And he would have been in, like, imagine what Steve Diamond or Richard Cockerell would have been like.
Ready to explode, like a volcano just about to explode.
Yeah, so I think your characterisation's probably pretty good. But we went from that game to Sarries against Saints. Alex Telfer said, tweeted us at Rugby Podcast, said, going from BT Sport to Sky is like going from the Aviva Premiership to the Pro 12.
Well said.
But then some other tweets, just to balance that up, Patrick Logan said, time to start paying attention to the Pro 12 after Pro 12 strugglers beat Gloucester.
Wow.
And Mike Dunning said, Pro 12 won, Aviva Prem nil.
Wow. Coming thick and fast.
Yeah, in the games this weekend, Pro 12 won, Aviva Prem nil.
There you go.
And it was Dragons.
Was that in the Heineken Cup?
Not in the Heineken, not in the top, not in the Challenge Cup tier.
And a Premiership team beat a French team, so that means that the Pro 12 is better than the top 14
as
well.
That makes sense to me. Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Although a mid-table French team did beat the leaders of the Pro 12 in Grenoble beating Connacht. So the kind of round-robin of leagues, everyone wins and loses.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't think we can get a clear, definitive answer. Which
I think it's very definitive. The Pro 12 is definitely better than Aviva based on this week's...
Yeah, I mean, isn't it crazy that it's only a few years ago and we were sat on this podcast going, well, what's going on with English clubs? It's obviously a big problem because they're not doing very well in Europe.
I don't think I have said that.
We did. Well, listened back to our early podcast.
No, I don't think I said that, is what I'm saying.
But they've not won since 2007 when Wasps
My point has been and always will be because the English clubs are structured in such a way with a stricter salary cap and they invest in things like infrastructure, they will slowly and surely get better.
Yeah.
And because the cap is low for playing staff, they spend additional money on coaching staff.
Coaching staff and facilities,
So when you look at someone like Saracens playing their wonderful rugby, this is not an accident.
Oh, no.
Excellent rugby, it's not an accident.
Well, Saracens' player cap will be like a quarter as much as Racing Metro's.
Yeah.
Dan Carter's Racing 92, sorry.
Exactly. If you can buy all the best players in the league, you're probably not going to play the best rugby or the most high-tech rugby, for want of a better word, because you don't need to.
Yeah.
So I've always had this opinion that the Premiership will have its day. I don't actually think it'll be this year, though. I think Racing will probably still do it.
Really? Even though it's 3-1 English to French at the moment. So Racing play Leicester, Wasp play Saracens.
I think they've got the easier draw, though, with Leicester.
Yeah.
Out of all the teams. I mean, Leicester look very good today, though.
They do. They do. But the Saracens-Northampton game.
Yes.
What did you make of it?
Well, what I thought was Northampton did the opposite of what Exeter did, and Wasps for that matter, who were like, right, we're going to go for the jugular and we're going to try and put this game out of sight. And Northampton just shot themselves in the foot. They just tried to defend a lead and just went narrow, stopped doing what was serving them so well in the first half and deserved to lose because they weren't brave enough, in my opinion. They tried to just sit back.
That's a pretty good summary, I think, of Northampton's entire season.
Yeah. I think they were winning until 60 minutes.
I don't know where their ambition's gone. I mean, if you buy George North and pay him a lot of money, you best be moving it wide.
But they kind of did. There was a visible demonstration of what they should do, but faced with 20 minutes to go and having a lead, you just against good teams, I don't think you can invite the pressure on and hold out.
Right.
Not against Saracens.
I think the danger with Saracens, though, is they're so comfortable without the ball. You think you're doing well, and all of a sudden it's a turnover, and they're flooding through the gaps, and it's horrible.
They rebooted the hive mind mainframe
they analysed, identified the weaknesses, and eventually.
But the build up to the game was as good as the game itself.
Tim.
Oh, have you got it already?
I've got it, mate.
Oh, amazing, Jay. Well done.
Turn that off.
I was going to play it on my phone.
Allow me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, you can't hear it.
It's the knockout stages, the history pages, a war that wages. London, one for the ages.
We
got Topsy Sarries in the red and black, trying to unleash the wolf pack attack. Saints in the black, green and gold. Underdogs, I have to be bold. It's no mystery, these two have history. I've tasted the victory and swallowed the misery. I've felt every bruise, I've paid every dues, and still I can't choose, neither wants to lose. So let's light the fuse. Both have won domestically, but crave this one desperately. After losing finals, regrettably, they're here to show their pedigree. Today we'll see more than a spark at Allianz Park. Light in the dark, like the white on a shark. So it's the last verse, both won't reverse. One comes off worse, their dream's in a hearse. The dam's about to burst. So
it's
here's
good.
The declaration. A Saints nation versus a Wolfpack federation. We've waited patient, it's here on the Sky Sports station.
Wow.
It's really good.
Wow, there we go.
I mean, and we did tweet out saying, you know, anyone that's listened to the podcast since the early days know how special Alex Corbisiero's rapping skills are to us. And I'm actually going to go out there and say I think we played a big part in putting Alex Corbisiero's rapping skills out there in the public domain.
You know, like, you're in the media, Tim. So you might be able to answer this question. How much trouble would we get in if we just put together a compilation, an album of Alex Corbisiero's rugby raps?
I think making a fake advert for Alex Corbisiero's raps, I think I'm going to do that. I'm doing that.
Like the old ones. Do you remember like back in the day in, I'm trying to think now, you'd watch like Sky Channels and it would be like, you subscribe to 18 rock legends.
Yeah.
Rugby rap.
I'm going to play an old Corbisiero one. Do you remember this one? The Henley Festival one.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Stay. I grab the mic and play. Everybody stand back because it's turning grey. I represent. It's that gorilla like a chinchilla. I'm here to tell you something that you've never ever heard. I'm flying higher and freer than like the favorite bird. I'm killing them with every lyric that I got. Where's the gorilla chinchilla line? Come on. Another MC you forgot. I'm blowing up the spot because I'm here to go. Type of kid to grab the mic and I steal the show. Got the suit on, boot on, looking like I'm fresh. Everybody knows I'm fresh to death. I'm here to bring the mess. I'm pretty special, like the Henley Festival. Jesse Lane and Lionel raising up the decibel. I'm pretty special. Oh, where's like the gorilla chinchilla? Come on, here we go. Jesse Lane and Lionel raising up the decibel. Damn, I don't mean to trouble you. Tonight is brought by BMW. Oh, thanks. Here we go. I'm the killer.
I'm the lady thriller. Built like a gorilla mixed with a favorite. I'm the lady killer would be that line.
The lady killer, built like a gorilla with your favourite chinchilla.
Isn't it built like a gorilla with your favourite chinchilla?
Yep.
Yeah. well, if we've got a spare 24 seconds. Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet.
Scrum is straight, Tom is right. I don't deny it.
Oh, the classic. Me,
try it. Style you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up high. Grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before. I represent L.I. London Irish. You can't deny this. So sick. I tell you, you can't buy this.
That's quite good. Although, I will say this. We had a guy who played for Broughton Park who could beatbox. Now, on a one-off, it might be quite impressive, but every training session, especially if you're full-time, it might start to grate.
Anyway, Corb's got in touch with us on Twitter and said that he'll come on a future pod.
And we'll get him rapping too. It'll be fine.
And so, fair play. For any stick that... I'm just balancing things up, because for any stick that Sky TV might have got, then they had Corb's, and he was great.
BT Sport missed out there, and I'm surprised they did. I know he's got BT Sport connections.
It was based around Saracens Northampton, which was their game.
Was it?
Yes.
Let's hope it's just a one off.
So you mentioned Dean Carter's Rissing 92. You say their favourites. Who's your favourites then, Phil, for the win? I'm going Sarries.
It's those two, isn't it? They're the two with the home, I believe.
Well, let's do it another way. Let's say who is our least favourite. And you're going to have to go with Leicester.
Leicester, probably.
Leicester, yeah.
But I do think any of those four teams can beat each other on the day.
Well, I think it's really interesting because if you just remove Leicester, because I don't think they're going to go any further. But, you know, don't write them off because they got... Not that you have, but because they've got...
Don't write them off, Phil. Stop it.
But you've got Wasps, who are a tournament team who could win any game on any day.
Now, I think that in terms of a story and in terms of the drama, the one thing missing from Wasps Exeter, from a neutral's point of view, was Exeter winning, being the underdog and all that. Mm. Everyone likes that sort of story. However, I think Wasps are much better equipped to beat Saracens. It'll be more of a game than Saracens Exeter.
Why do you think Exeter were the underdogs? Because I didn't see it that way at all.
Because they're away from home.
But they're second in the league. You know,
2 points ahead of Wasps, who are the form team and have only lost once this year.
The league doesn't lie.
You know, so I did have extra slight underdogs.
Slight underdogs, but not like, it wasn't like a...
No, but it would have just been, from where Exeter have come from, having no pedigree, their first ever quarterfinal, that would have been the underdog story, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Anyway, but I think Wasps are equipped to beat Saracens in a way that Exeter wouldn't have, I don't think.
I slightly disagree with that. I think they can beat anyone whose pack is of the same level as Wasps.
Yeah,
I think that Wasps' backs are better than virtually anyone's, but I think they've got a bit of a soft underbelly in their pack.
Yeah,
particularly their front row. Like Mullen is great, but Fastusha or Ashley Johnson can be a bit hit and miss as hooker, and then Cooper Woolley and Cittadini, again, can be a bit hit and miss. So I think that's where Wasps have the real advantage.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Wasps' pack...
That's where I think Saracens have the real advantage over Wasps.
If the Wasps' pack can just hold out like they did against Toulon, not once, but twice, and they lost in, like, the last second or something, they will be fine against anyone.
It's getting parity in the pack, then they can beat anyone. If they're struggling to conceding penalties and not getting territory from their pack, then they'll lose.
I'll tell you all it is, and the reason... I say Saracens, I think, will win, but I think there's a little bit of me that's... A rugby romantic side, and from the podcast point of view, we were stolen. Miles Benjamin was stolen from you, JB, this season. Andy Goode was stolen from you.
Too early.
When you look over the lifespan of the podcast, probably Jacques Berger's the man who's been the most talked about, most loved character we've ever had on the podcast, and this is his last couple of months of playing rugby.
And his best performances have been in Europe. That game against Clermont. I can't remember the tackle count.
36, was it?
Yeah,
something like that.
Monumental.
Most of them he just tackled with his face.
He's just monumental.
He was everywhere that day.
I think we've got kind of like a three-team circular here, which is if Wasps win, Wasps beat Saracens, they'll lose to Racing. I think Racing will lose, but I think Racing would lose to Saracens. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
Although, who would... That's basically my thought on the entire situation.
Yeah,
And I'd love Saracens to win. They just deserve it. They've built a team with a lot of young players, which people don't give them any credit for. Really, they've breached the salary cap and all the rest of it. They breached the salary cap on the right sorts of players, if that is the case.
Yeah, and they've spent a lot of money on. They've used salary cap space. They probably had to spend more on them over the years, but they bought a lot of guys cheap that were not valued elsewhere.
Right.
Wiles from the Championship, and he's one of their best players. Jacques Berger, Petrus Duplessis, exactly.
Loads of lads.
Yeah.
So I really hope Saracens do it. Although, you know, I'd be happy to see Wasps do it too.
Yes. Yeah, it'd be good for an English club to win it. Definitely.
Well, it's not going to be a Welsh or Irish club.
Or Scottish.
Or Scottish.
Or Italian.
How long are we on the podcast so far, JB?
32 minutes.
We've not had any sort of even remote effort at a tenuous segue. Into it, but so we'll keep you waiting for an amazing segue. I'll move on and mention we're gonna have to make sure we spend a bit of time talking about the games this weekend. London Irish, I did see them play against Harlequins, and I thought they put in there looked to be a bit of spirit in London Irish. Maybe they're not. It's the fat lady hasn't sung yet.
Well, I didn't watch the game, but it was only the last 20 minutes that Harlequins actually came back.
Yeah.
London Irish they had a handsome lead with 20 minutes to go.
Mm. I think, Harlequins came back strong. I don't think Harlequins are a very good team. They play well in phases, but I actually think Harlequins are going to be next year's Bath. As for London Irish, we got a hilarious tweet off a guy, I can't remember who he is, but thank you for your tweet, asking what would happen if London Irish win
the Challenge Cup, get relegated, but they still get a place in the Champions Cup.
That was 10 minutes before the end of the game.
Well, he tweeted us again to go, scrap that, doesn't matter.
I feel very, very sorry for London Irish fans.
Harlequins could be next year's Bath if they appoint Stuart Lancaster as head coach.
I mean, it seems to make a lot of sense, that appointment, doesn't it?
Well, apparently, the rumour is that some of the players have said they don't want him.
No, of course they don't. Of course, he pretty much ruined Danny Kerr single-handedly. I wonder who would captain Harlequins, though.
Well, Kerr's captain him this year,
but
isn't
he would be captain if Lancaster rocked up.
Well, not Kerr, not Rob Shaw.
Definitely Rob Shaw. 100% Rob Shaw.
Did you see? I read the quotes from Stuart Lancaster, who's been giving some interviews this weekend. Yeah. And again, I felt a little bit sorry for him.
He's such a sad character.
Yeah, I mean, he basically said, do you know what? I didn't really do enough of the coaching, and I got too busy with all of the other stuff, and I didn't do any coaching. I'd quite like to do just
catering,
just all the stuff that's involved in being the head honcho, the organisation and stuff. And he just said, I'd quite like to just get back to doing some coaching.
Yeah, I'd like him to go and coach in a school or an academy.
Under 20s,
perfect role for it.
It's development. Development side is brilliant.
But that is why.
And if you end up having ring fencing. I actually think he'd be a great person for a club to have on board.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you don't have the pressure of... I know I want relegation, I don't want ring fencing, but if you end up having ring fencing without the spectre of relegation, he'd be a brilliant guy to have in your system, I think.
I completely agree. Wouldn't he just be great for Harlequins to have to bring through all the kids which they continually play? It makes sense, but it might make too much sense, and that's why I don't like it. So they might say, oh, you're director of rugby. Hopefully John Kingston will stay in place, because I think he's a good coach. And the idea is that Stuart Lancaster focuses on the youth coming through.
Yeah, that'd be
he might just ruin it though.
You wouldn't get Stuart Lancaster doing what I saw Steve Diamond doing today. So I was driving
bench press.
I was driving towards Didsbury from Chorlton, where we are now.
Yeah,
and Steve Diamond was in the front garden of Albert's shed.
Was he
with loads of the young Sale players?
Good, like, really?
Will Addison, Tommy Taylor, Josh Beaumont, and there was
a whole
table full of beers. This was about 2 p.m.
Good lad. We missed it.
Good lad. Well, they might still be there. Should we nip down after?
Yeah, definitely. Just on the off chance.
Steve!
two
things that I took away from that Stuart Lancaster interview that was in the BBC. One of the things was when he was asked about, does he still think about the World Cup performance? And he said, I think about it every minute of most days. Oh, well, most days, really.
Sort of realised, sounds a little bit
ridiculous.
It's like the Sex Panther quote, 60% of the time, all the time.
Exactly.
I read that quote as well and just had a picture of Stuart Lancaster. I imagined him on on a windowsill. And we're looking at him from the outside and it's raining and there's just rain running down the window. And he's just got a 1,000-yard stare.
And then the other one was, he said he caught up with Eddie Jones after Eddie Jones first got appointed the job. And he said, we met a couple of weeks after Eddie got the job. I didn't see any point learning all the lessons I learned and not passing them on. That would be ludicrous. Jones really appreciated that.
Eddie Jones might have had a 1,000-yard stare, like polite nods. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I'm writing all of this down, Stuart.
Bless him. He's such a nice guy.
That's it, isn't it?
He is.
I love to launch into him and really give him a good pounding and then think, he's quite nice.
You feel a bit bad for doing it, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's like kicking a puppy.
It's like entering a Labrador into a dog fight.
I don't want to get bogged down in the story, but another entertaining tweet we got to at Rugby Podcast from Kevin Wu in relation to the story surrounding a fan in the ref's room at Bath. Kevin Wu's contribution, which I thought was brilliant, he just said, hold on, he can't be much of a Bath fan if he's not wearing mustard chinos or tweed.
Right, the idea was we were going to give this Bath fan no coverage at all. We've dedicated 3 tweets to him and we've now got him on the podcast.
No, we haven't talked about the story or anything. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm highlighting the tweet from one of our funny listeners, JB.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here because I don't think we've heard the whole story.
I think we've now heard 2 sides of the story which conflict greatly. So I think we will kind of, the truth will come out.
I'm not saying anything on it.
But can I ask you this? Do you really want to see a man banned? If he's really a rugby fan for 20 years, you want to see him banned for 99?
It depends. It depends what he's done.
I mean, you'd have to do something pretty horrific.
Oh yeah,
It sounds right. Serious. Okay, I've gone. Now I'm going to make a comment on it. Let's not talk about it. Let me talk about the fact that. So we've seen some brilliant rugby this weekend. Leicester scored some outstanding tries. Beetham and Vianu. What players they are.
Yes.
And Henry Slade and Elliot Daly and Charles Pietau. What amazing Pietau. Players that Pietau is.
Thank
so
God he's
good.
Coming to Ulster next year.
He won't.
Well, Phil got loads and loads of tweets from, and thank you very much if you tweeted, because
thanks guys
to at Rugby Podcast, because tweeting us and a link, you know, saying, Phil, what do you make of this? And then a link to James Haskell in the Wasp dressing room after the game, interrupting an interview with the Pietau brothers. And James says, come on, Charles, what we got to do to keep you? And Charles Pietau says, clearly as a big joke, and he has a laugh, he says, come on, Derek, referring to the boss of Wasps, get your checkbook out. And then his brother, Siali Pietau, just says, it's all about the money! and it's, I mean, they're joking. But you wonder how
Why
much
do you
like
think that they're joking?
What's the phrase?
True word is said in jest.
True word is said in jest.
I want to know why you think they're joking.
Because, well, Charles was immediately apologising.
Yeah, he says, I don't mean it. I'm joking.
No, he does mean it. He absolutely means it. The offer just needs to be big enough. And they have the money. But no, here's a question.
Would he clarify, if they were to do that, would he clarify for the marquee player? Because it would be a fresh sign-in from the same league, so maybe it wouldn't, unless he's already in a marquee spot.
He's going to Ulster.
Yeah, anyway, it's
going to be a pride, Ulsterman.
Well, hang on. Let me just re-emphasise my argument, which I've made plenty of times. His brother can't go to Ulster.
His brother's going back to Japan.
Oh, is that signed up?
Yes.
I believe so.
Oh, it's a done deal then. I think he will go. Because here's me thinking he's having a great time high-fiving Christian Wade and scoring loads of tries.
Yeah.
His bro
is playing really, so well. Really well.
I mean, I'm sure Wasps will be wanting to talk to him about it, but as I understand it, he's going to Japan.
Japan has got a slightly different season.
We're going back to Japan.
To us. So you could go to Japan and come back.
Yeah, possibly. Play half a season.
But James Haskell himself waded into our Twitter account, and because so many people were going, Phil, what do you think of this? Phil. And James Haskell actually went, he tweeted us to at Rugby Podcast and went, yeah, Phil, what's going on? What do you think? Everyone seems to be asking what you think. And Phil gave James Haskell's video the big thumbs up, and Haskell seemed pretty happy with that.
Good old Phil giving the thumbs up.
Love the video. Really, really hope that Pietau comes to Ulster. Which I'm still pretty certain he will.
But he was at the Kingspan the other day.
He was.
That's a good sign.
But having seen the rugby that we've seen this weekend, and the players with firm underfoot and good conditions, and the great spectacle we've seen, and we're able to talk about some amazing tries, and only people in one pub in Covent Garden didn't seem to appreciate that. I think we should briefly revisit where we stand on shifting the season.
Okay.
Because we have talked about it before, and you can listen back to old podcasts where we've done long, in-depth things, but the rugby we've seen this weekend, and the last few weeks, that's what I want to see.
Okay.
I want to see that product.
Now, I was thinking about this earlier today. I would almost like to say, right, Christmas, you have like a two-month kind of period where nothing happened. Christmas, Northern Hemisphere. Then I'd like to break the domestic season into two halves with, the club season into two halves, with domestic between, say, March and May, then a global, like Super Rugby do.
Yeah.
They do February to June, I think there is. So do that. So we have the Premiership
the
and Pro 12 and Top 14 in that window. Then we have the Summer Internationals in the centre, so you can have the Summer Tours and Six Nations and Rugby Championship in the centre, and then the Northern Hemisphere could have the European Championship, the European Champions Cup in the autumn.
Yes, I mean, I think
there's a way of working that, and it roughly aligns to the Southern Hemisphere as well. And you miss out on the worst conditions in the middle of winter.
Okay, well, first of all, I love winter rugby. Not everyone does. And to get the neutrals involved, I guess. Do you want the neutrals involved, though? I mean, do you really want non-rugby people?
But you want to grow the game.
You do want to grow the
game. No, I don't want people that don't care about rugby. I want more people to care about rugby.
Yes, exactly, Tim. Good point.
Yeah, I do want more. But I want them to appreciate the art of the scrum and the ruck and the maul and...
I'm all for that, but the problem is so many scrums are just collapsed and are just boring and are just a farce.
Exeter's driving maul and pick and go was a thing of beauty.
Yes, absolutely.
You Enrico.
Might also say that a lot of these things will be ironed out anyway when they start playing on plastic pitches. You mentioned before we started recording.
Oh, Worcester have announced they're bringing in an artificial pitch, which I think is a sort of level beyond where Newcastle and Saracens are at. So they're using like pulped coconut or something, so it will behave like mud when it rains.
And it's
to some degree.
I've been on the manufacturer's website, and it kind of promotes a more consistent bounce, and it's much more like a real turf pitch.
So Jack Noll might be able to play on it.
Yes, so it gives a more consistent footing and a safer footing.
Yeah, so I think a lot of these issues with the scrummaging and the speed of play will start to die down a little bit anyway. And you've got to remember, it's bloody cold in New Zealand too, and they manage to play beautiful rugby, and it does rain.
Well, let's just hope global warming is a thing and it is man-made, because if that carries on, we'll be sorted soon.
Now, the other thing is, and probably more important thing is, the global season... If you get it right, you could relieve all sorts of things like fixture congestion and that kind of thing. Less games would be brilliant. I mean, it'd be worse for fans, but it'd be brilliant for us. I don't, though, like the idea of... Like, do the Super Rugby season, the way they go internationals, then they have Super Rugby, and then they've got this long, horrible, like, NPC-type thing. Now, the NPC is fine.
ITM Cup.
ITM Cup. I used to call it the NPC. No point coming, because Canterbury always...
Well, that's just due to the number of fixtures that they've condensed the number of fixtures Super Rugby, so not everyone plays everyone home and away kind of thing. It's all done by conferences and all of that
stuff. Yes, yes. But prior to that, they'd have, like, the ITM Cup. Like that. And, you know, that's fine, but
That's not what we're talking about, because the Premiership, you wouldn't stop it being home and away 22 matches or whatever. Well, anyway...
No, but that's what I'm saying about the global season. You would then fill up that time with maybe lesser rugby or something like that, or lower standard. So
yeah,
I'm
not necessarily a fan of that. I think you could actually reduce the Premiership games and maybe have it as two pools, or there'll be a way of reducing it, because I do think players play too much rugby. 22 Premiership games, 8 European games, and then England play 14 or 15 games per year. It's 45 weeks of rugby that an English rugby player could potentially be playing. And I think that is a bit too much.
Tell us what you think at Rugby Podcast, maybe when we've got a bit more time on another podcast, because we've got all summer to think about. We'll have loads of dead weeks when there's not a lot going on, when we can talk about it. Now, I know in terms of signings, Ulster have got we can do this quickly, boys. I reckon I know that Ulster have got Charles Piatow on the way next season, but they've also got a fly half, Phil.
They have a young Bath fly half, not Adam Hastings.
Okay.
He's a lad I've not really heard of. He played England under-18s last season or 2 seasons ago. A lad called Brett Heron.
So we thought Brett Heron could be the captain of a Bird 15. and let's quickly try and rattle through and make Bird 15.
Now, have you got players in every position?
No. I've got players in most positions. I've definitely got a loose head. I've got a couple of options at loose head.
Ooh, loose head. I've got a World Cup winning loose
head. So have I. Should we say it on three? One, two, three. Tony Woodcock.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was thinking Beth Mallard.
Yes.
Who won the World Cup with New Zealand, another New Zealand prop, in 2006.
Very good indeed.
Tony Woodcock's a bird, right?
Yeah.
Tight head prop, I've got... I couldn't come up with one that's an actual name of a bird, so I went House Martin Castro Giovanni.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Martin is a bird, isn't
it? Hang on. Why didn't you just...
House Martin's a bird.
You must have been able to find a prop Martin called Martin. Because a
Martin Castro Giovanni. Yeah, yeah. Just a Martin on its own. Okay, yeah, fine. Martin Castro Giovanni. Yeah. All right.
Then hookers.
I've got two.
I've got three.
Ooh, exciting.
I've got, again, minor pun-based...
Albatross
Ford and Keith Woodpecker.
Albatross. Keith Woodpecker's not very good. Albatross Ford is quite good.
Albatross Ford.
Ross Ford. Albatross Ford.
Oh, no. Is it Albanese somewhere?
Is there a what?
An Albanese or something like that.
I'm not sure.
I'm sure there's an origin sign in it. I got Robin McBride.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Robin McBride or Richard.
Damn it.
Richard Cockerell.
Exactly.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Or.
Go on.
Worcester ladies team hooker Lark Davis.
Oh, brilliant.
Well done, Phil.
Excellent. In second row, I've got a Jaeger is a type of bird, so Luke de Jaeger.
Oh, Luke
Jaeger. Is a bird. I don't know.
South African bird.
I think it is, yeah.
Or an African bird.
Is it? Is it like a cormorant type thing?
I'll look it up, JB. I just looked up names of birds.
I got a feeling it looks like a cormorant. It's a water bird, I'm sure.
Tell me your other second row options while I look it up.
Jeremy Thrush.
Yes, I've got Jeremy
Thrush and New Zealand second row partner Dominic Bird.
Oh, nice.
Well done.
Has to be. I mean, the other options, you could, like, going back to the Martin, you could go Martin Bayfield, Martin Johnson.
I actually think we should try not to repeat where we
can.
It is a Jaeger bird. It translates in German and Dutch as hunter, and it's a seabird.
Yeah, I knew it was a seabird.
Resembling a dark gull.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Almost exactly as I said. Brilliant.
back row, Jordan Crane.
Yes. Well, how about David Pocock?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I mean, the other two, I've got a repetition, so Martin Corrie and Robin Copeland.
And I went with more pun-based. Jonathan Fisher could be Jonathan Kingfisher, but that's just a bit... yeah. So we're short of a back row then, like in its own right, that's not a repetition. So help us out at Rugby Podcast with any of these. Scrum half, I've got an amazing one.
Ooh.
Rob Owley.
Oh, I've searched for owls for ages.
Is good. That is good.
Oh, no, call you that.
And Chris Kookaburra, but...
So I've got... He's a Australian Rugby League halfback, Brett Finch.
Oh, nice.
Perfect.
To link up with Brett Herring.
I was thinking of Finch, Weaver, Starling and all this sort of stuff.
Weaver's a great one.
Yeah, Weaver is good.
I couldn't think of any.
So it's Heron, of course. Would you play Goosen at 12, though?
Well, he played, nice. 13, he played 13 today. I actually had him at 15. But you could do.
So we're missing a 12.
Well, unless you go Cone Bill Williams.
Good God, no.
Sorry.
I suppose using your pen base there, I could go Tony Marsh Harrier.
Yeah, you could. Or Regan Kingfisher.
Paul
Bastard.
That's not bad.
So in the centre.
Oh, Gustav Bastard, yeah. Yeah, very good. I quite like that one.
I've got David Duckham in the centre.
Oh, nice. He was a winger mainly in back in the day, I think.
He's also been in the Food 15 because he's duck and ham. Do you remember that one?
Cause I've got a back three if you put Johan Goosen at 15.
Okay, I wonder if you've got the same back three as me.
But then I've got another centre, a lad who played for Sale Jets when he was younger and then went on to play for Sedgley Park for many a year alongside me, a lad called Chris Parrott.
Ah, I knew there's a Parrott somewhere.
Yeah.
I knew it.
And his cousin, Simon Parrott, also played 9-10.
Well, on the wing, I have got Archie Sparrow.
Archie Sparrow.
Nice.
Yeah, Cornish good. Cornish All Blacks, under-14s.
under-14s.
Isn't an Oriole a type of bird?
Yes,
Oriole Ripple.
Oriole is like a yellowy kind of bird.
Nice.
I think it's Spanish. I think you can find him in Spain.
Well, he must be named after the Spanish bird.
Another winger, I was going to go Ida Good-Johnson. Ida Duck.
Ida Duck, yeah.
And Ida Duck. He's not really a winger, I guess.
He's a footballer as well, but that's fine.
Yeah, so what?
So my two wings were Tom Fowle.
There's an Oriole, by the way.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, Tom Fowle-y.
Oh, yeah.
Fowle bird. And Tony Swift was an England winger.
Oh, yes, he was.
In the 80s.
God damn.
Bath in England.
And there was also a fullback called Angus Swanson.
Nice.
Who I've got some Wales Online article here about him. I don't think he was ever very high level.
He's probably higher level than Archie Sparrow.
I'm sure we'll get loads of other suggestions in.
And teams with
Ospreys, Falcons,
Henley Hawks.
Falcons, London Irish Wild Geese, Henley Hawks,
Leighton Buzzard.
And then a few rugby leagues, Sydney Roosters, Manly Sea Eagles. And there's a place in Australia called the Bow Desert Kingfishers.
There must be some Kookaburras out there too.
Probably.
And there must be a team called the Cardinals somewhere in the States.
And Kiwis in New Zealand.
Hmm. Plenty of bird-based banter to be had.
The Eagles, USA.
Shall we get into next week's predictions?
No. Okay. I need some advice. I don't know. I haven't shaved this week. I'm just wondering if this stubble suits me or not.
No, I don't think it does.
No,
I think you need
to
remove that.
You must
struggle, Tim, because you've got a very chiselled face. It looks like you need more than just a razor.
Yeah, I mean, just if I just used any old razor, I think I'd be cut to shreds, to be honest. And, you know, I don't want to face Rob Baxter and, you know, have one solitary tear rolling down my cheek when I'm interviewing in post-match interviews with bits of tissue paper covering up shaving cuts.
Exactly.
That just
right.
wouldn't be on, would it?
Exactly right.
Fortunately, JB, I'm a Cornerstone customer.
As am I. In fact, you can see my face is freshly Cornerstoned.
I was talking to a friend of ours this weekend who, or a friend of the pod this weekend who's just this week got a Cornerstone himself, and he was raving about it, absolutely raving.
I have
about
a big problem with Cornerstone though.
Why?
The blades are too sharp. this isn't me just making up. I have got two packs now. They deliver for me every 6 weeks, right? And I've still not finished off my first razor. I'm now starting to throw razors away just because I feel like I should. You know, they last for ages.
You can do what I do, and I make sure I shave my peaches and kiwis before I eat them.
Nice.
Just to get some practice.
Nice. I thought that was a euphemism for something.
So where would you? How would you go about getting a Cornerstone razor tin?
Because if you would like to take up a mail order shaving company, Cornerstone's incredible offer, exclusive to listeners of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and give a go to what has been voted the finest razor at the GQ Awards, beating Wilkinson Sword, beating Gillette, beating that shaver that you might well use and you have at home. And the amazing thing about this one is, you can practically give it a go for nothing.
Yeah.
With us.
No obligation.
No obligation. If you can design your own schedule of deliveries, and if you don't like it, once you've tried it, you can just get rid. But people aren't doing that. So you order, and I think it's like a £4 order, and you get your free engraved shaft with your initials and stuff on it. But you get a £10 discount on your first order with us by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Kevin Tipton has done this. He tweeted us at Rugby Podcast to say, thanks for the Cornerstone recommendation. Just used it for the first time. I honestly believe I've never had a smoother shave. James Cowan, Cornerstone is catching on, lads. Guy at my gym saw me shave. He took one look at my impressive shaft and gave me a knowing wink.
Did he comment on his razor as well? Or?
And Roberto Andriano just said, what great guys Cornerstone are, that I messed up my discount code, but I got in touch and they gave me the Egg Chasers discount anyway. What good guys. So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Make your first order.
Or egg 10 at checkout.
Exactly. You can basically give it a go for free, as many, many people are. Yes, let's talk about next week, JB.
Right, Phil. Talk.
Yeah, Phil. Talk. Come on, Phil.
Friday night.
Okay.
Maybe it's not going to be then. It's definitely not their year this year. It might not even be their year next year, the way they're going, losing to Dragons. But Gloucester host Exeter.
I'm going to say Exeter win. I'm going to say a fairly handy Exeter win as well, as they bounce back from bitter European defeat.
I'm going to go with that. I would agree. Tim, happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs. We've got Worcester hosting Wasps.
Wasps next.
Well, Wasps need to win. Worcester have kind of done what they need to do, so I think they're kind of D-mob happy a little bit, and I'd understand that. Yep. I think they've got enough pride in themselves, but I mean, Dean Ryan said after their last game, when they got thoroughly beaten by Exeter, he said, you know, our boys are just exhausted.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, they'll literally be playing for jobs now. They know Worcester have got money, they know the big names are coming in, so if you're a kid coming into that team, you need to play well. I think if you start to slacken off now, it'll be looked upon very dimly in the off season.
But Wasps have got far more. They're buoyant. They're playing brilliantly. Haven't lost, you know, lost once this year, I think.
And they need it.
And they need it. Yeah.
Do you think they might rest a few players with the following weekend?
Yes.
They travel to Saracens.
Yes, they absolutely will.
So, I think they might. They'll rest a few, and so Worcester might have a chance at that.
Yeah.
Who do you rest? Because I rest Charles Pietel. You don't. You go to Saracens without him. You're really going to struggle.
Interestingly,
Nathan Hughes.
Yeah.
I think Dai Young's got one really important question ahead of Saracens Wasp. We can talk about this next week. Does he play Thomas Young or James Haskell? Thomas Young, what an impact that guy made, and he's been out playing out of his skin. He's got. I think he'll be in the Welsh squad in the summer.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think you make a good shout there. You've got to go with the club captain though.
Captain in the team. But it's very good to have someone like that to come off the bench.
Yeah, the impact off the bench. Frightening.
So then, 3:15 on Saturday, Saracens host Harlequins.
Saracens.
Now, Saracens presumably will rest some players.
They will rest
because a lot of them haven't had a rest since the England games.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
But Harlequins are the only team that until the England matches, Saracens were the only team that's beaten a full-strength Saracens team this season. So Saracens will want to get their own back on that.
Yeah. Saracens would take well, though. I'd still say Saracens.
I think that'll be closer, though. But yeah, I still think Saracens will do it. But there could be, with the resting player issue, I think you're right, there could be some surprises this weekend.
Then, Northampton, fresh from defeat, host Leicester. Now, this is... Leicester might it's want to rest huge. Some players, but in order to secure top four next season, I don't think they can afford to.
No.
So I think it's going to have to be both playing at full squad.
Leicester can still get top four if they lose. Northampton can't.
This is basically a playoff game.
That is true. Yeah, it almost is. Almost is.
So, where is it?
Northampton, Franklin's Gardens.
It's huge. This game is huge.
I can't call that one. I have no idea.
I think Northampton at home. I think Leicester, if anyone's kind of carrying half a knock, half an injury, they will take the opportunity to rest them. They'll probably change a couple of people up. Like Freddie Burns came off for Owen Williams.
But yeah, they're like 1A and 1B, aren't they?
Freddie Burns I'm going to go with Saints. Well. I'm going to go with Saints.
Saints at home.
I think Leicester will edge it.
Then Sunday, 2:30, Sale host Bath.
Yep.
Sale at home.
Sale at home.
And then the big one.
Yeah.
Again, relegation decider, playoff decider, Newcastle host London Irish.
Yeah, so it's exactly the same as Northampton Leicester in the sense that Newcastle can stay up if they lose, London Irish can't.
Yes. But if London Irish were to get a 5-point win and Newcastle get nothing, they would leapfrog them in the league because they're 4 points behind them.
Oh my word.
So this is a huge game.
It's absolutely massive.
I think London Irish do have something about them, you know. In fits and starts.
My only concern is what they have about them is a kind of gallant loser thing.
Yeah.
They don't have the...
Like, they'll be up at half time, but they don't believe they'll stay up.
Yeah. Yeah. The game against Worcester where they blew two perfect chances just by not executing a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
It's like it's that kind of thing that... And against Sale when they're at home. They had chances to win it. They missed a load of kicks.
Do you know what? I don't have allegiances in rugby. I don't have a team as such. I've always just kind of followed... Well, because I've been playing at National 1 level, but I've always sort of just followed the team my brother plays for. So it's more in hope than expectation. I think I'm going to say London Irish.
I think London Irish, actually. I've got a feeling.
Now, interestingly, Newcastle... We'll have Sinotti back. You think he's kind of started on the bench for the last couple
muscular
of games.
Ball of barbed wire.
Yeah, he does make... Like, last season, when they were on their run of a few games that they won, he was so important because he's so dangerous, so difficult to stop. So I think Newcastle at home on that plastic pitch will win.
Yeah.
Then Pro 12, quickly.
Very.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quickly, please.
Leinster host Edinburgh on Friday night. Home win.
Yep.
Ospreys host Treviso, home win.
Yep.
The next game, Zebre host Ulster, Ulster win.
Yep.
Scarlets host Glasgow, which will be an interesting game. Both vying for top four, definitely. Both vying for potential home semi-finals. I think Glasgow might have enough to go away to the Scarlets and win, which would also be good for Ulster. Then Connacht host Munster, which you'd have to say Connacht win. And Cardiff host Dragons, which, again, home win.
And that's why it's the best league in the world. Brilliant. I think we're done.
Wow. Good pod, gents. And thank you very much for listening at Rugby Podcast. Get in touch with us and follow what we say over the next week. It's going to be... And help us out with some of the little gaps we've... And the conversations we started, global season, shifting when rugby's played... Bird 15.
Yes, definitely helps out with the Bird 15. We needed another back rower.
And just tell us when you sign on with Cornerstone.
Excellent.
Leave your reviews and stuff. Good work, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
Good work, Philip.
Thank you, Tim.
Can we let Corbs play us out?
Can we?
Yeah, let's do it.
Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right. I don't deny it. Test me, try it. Style, you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up, up, high. Grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish, you can't deny this. So, so sick of tenants, you can't buy this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.